Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
When the very thing that you're trusting in is struck and struck and struck, then now you turn to what is solid and what is true. You would turn away from your biases. God is even using these judgments, not just to bring judgment upon the earth for those who need to be judged for the sin of the earth, but to bring people to Himself.
We are studying the trumpet judgments in the book of Revelation chapter 8. While the tribulation period is a time of God's judgment, it is also a time of His great mercy and love. God will use these judgments to open eyes, to break through hard hearts, and bring people to realize that Jesus is the only way. With part two of our study in Revelation 8 verses 1 through 13, here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson.
The second trumpet is sounded in verse 8. Then the second angel sounded, and something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea. And a third of the sea became blood, and a third of the creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. So now we do have definite death with people, but it's a result of what's happening to the sea. So this seems to be a meteor on fire that strikes the sea, and it causes a third of sea life to be destroyed. We get most of our oxygen from algae from the oceans, not from trees. And so this would be like a double hit. You have a third of the trees that die, all of the grass that dies. The earth is radically changing. Now, when God created Adam and Eve, God said, I give you dominion over the earth and the things that are on them. So they were given control over the earth. And then somehow they gave up that dominion, and Satan is called the god of this world. And Satan had power to be able to give the kingdoms and all of their glory to Jesus. And there's verbiage that's very similar to it. And so our earth has been under demonic control for a long time, which is one of the reasons I think there are so many problems with the earth. Yeah, maybe man hasn't been the best for the environmental aspects of the earth, but it's only the beginning of where this earth is going to go. And so a third of the sea being destroyed now, a lot of people worship the earth. A lot of people put their hope in the future of the earth. And the fact that the earth would be struck would be directly against those who have been committing idolatry with the earth as its mother earth, as the, you know, nature, what nature does. Oftentimes they'll talk about, isn't it interesting that nature did these things? And they're obvious creations. Creation is so incredibly complex on the earth. It's obvious if there is a creation, there is a creator, but they knowingly deny the creator in Romans chapter 1. And so now God strikes the very thing that they have been worshiping. And if you reject God and worship the earth, and now the trees have been destroyed, and now the water's been struck, where are you going to turn? The very thing that you've been worshiping is now taking the brunt of these things. So the third angel sounds, and it's similar. The third angel sounded, and a great star fell from heaven, burning like a torch, and it fell on a third of the rivers and the springs of water. The name of the star was Wormwood, and the third of the waters became wormwood, and many men died from the water because it was made bitter. So wormwood, if you look it up, was a kind of medicine, something that could make things bitter, could be a kind of poison. It's interesting that Chernobyl means wormwood, and that was pointed out back when the Chernobyl disaster happened. A lot of people thought the tribulation period was happening because Chernobyl, the disaster happened in the Ukraine, and then they thought that it was, but I don't think it was, maybe a type of what's going to happen, because there was so much contamination and the people had to leave, and it was the biggest nuclear disaster that we've ever had. But this is going to destroy the fresh water. And so you see, the land struck, a third of the trees, the ocean is struck, a third of the creatures in the water die, the third of the ships are destroyed, and now a third of the fresh water is destroyed. And so you're starting to get a feel for what these four trumpets are about. The fourth one is similar. Then the fourth angel sounded, and a third of the sun was struck, and a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, and a third of them were darkened. A third of the day did not shine, and likewise the night. And so now, if you're one, you don't trust in God, and you trust in Mother Earth, and now the earth is struck, and the water struck, and the fresh water struck, that's one thing. But now when the universe around you is struck, and not just the earth, you realize that this is much more than just the earth. You might be able to survive if the earth gets hit, but when everything is universally coming apart and coming unglued, who are you going to trust in? In a strange way, we see why there were so many people in chapter 7 that came out of the tribulation period and had their robes in white. Because when the very thing that you're trusting in is struck and struck and struck, then now you turn to what is solid and what is true. You would turn away from your biases. God is even using these judgments, not just to bring judgment upon the earth for those who need to be judged and for the sin of the earth, but to bring people to himself, to make an end of all things. And people would see these things and turn to Christ. And I believe that that happened. Now, that's the sounding of the first four trumpets. Very similar and very much like what we get when we're studying the book of Revelation. It's a little heavy. We think, no wonder there was silence in heaven for a half an hour when the trumpets were handed out, and now they're ready to blast. Because a third of all of the resources that are on the earth and a third of the resources that are in heaven have been destroyed. Things altered in a way that cannot be corrected. But it gets worse. Verse 13, we find another angel. So far, we've seen the seven angels with seven trumpets. We've seen the angel with the censer, and now we get another angel. It says, verse 13, I looked and I heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven. Now, if you have the ESV or the NIV, it's going to say, I looked and behold an eagle flying in the midst of heaven. And that really is correct. The word here for angel is not the word for angel, it's the word for eagle. However, remember that of the four living creatures that were around the throne, one of them was like an eagle. So maybe that's why the King James and the New King James chose to use the word angel here rather than eagle. Plus, this eagle that flies is able to give warnings. And so it seems like the eagle may indeed be one of these angels that are there before the throne. And I looked and I heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth because of the remaining blast of the trumpet of the three angels who are about to sound. When we get the silence, the censer with the prayers of the saints being thrown on the earth, the heaviness of these first four trumpets that blast, destroying a third of everything, and now a special angel giving three more woes, one for each one of the next trumpets that blast, it gives some trepidation for what's about to come. I believe that all three of the remaining trumpets are connected, like the first four were, and the three are connected to the demonic realm, that there is a demonic activity that takes place after this. And that's what we get to look at next Wednesday night in our study in the book of Revelation. All of this comes around to a good place, but we're about to get to the creatures that come out of the pit. We're about to get to the angel that was headed over the pit. We get the name of a demon as we continue on here, as we look at the rest of these trumpets. Now, this is only the beginning of the destruction of the earth. The earth has been given to us for us to rule and reign over and to care for sure. And where men haven't done that, that's not right, that's wrong. We should be thinking about the earth and caring for the earth because it is our home. That's why it was given to us, for us to live on, from God for us. But Revelation 21:1 says, now I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away and there was no more sea. Now that bums a lot of people out that there's no more sea, but in the new heaven and the new earth, there's no sea, which Pastor Chuck used to say that he wanted Hawaii, but didn't know if he wanted it anymore after he learned that there was no more sea, but it passes away. So this earth is temporary. It's here for us now, but there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. Now, when it says new heaven, does that mean the heaven that God's in? Do we have a new heaven where the throne room and the altar is? Or is this just talking about the heavens that are around the earth? So there's a new heaven and a new earth. Now also, if you continue to read there, the new Jerusalem comes down on the earth, and we then get where we will dwell forever. That will be the place that we dwell forever. Now, Peter talks about the destruction of the earth as well. In 2 Peter 3:10, says, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night." What that means is that it's going to happen unexpectedly and quickly. Jesus said that the coming of the Lord was going to be like the days of Noah. They were eating, drinking, marrying, given in marriage, and then sudden destruction came upon them. Things on the earth are going to go on as normal, people eating, drinking, marrying, right until the tribulation period starts, right up until it. And then those 7 years will go by quickly. And he comes like a thief in the night. There isn't a lot of warning beforehand. In fact, the Bible says, when they say peace and safety, sudden destruction comes upon them. I think the final birth pain will come after a promise of peace. There will be a sense of peace on the earth, and maybe even an organization that will come up during the tribulation period and be talked about in chapter 16, 17, or 18, but maybe an organization that brings peace. And then all of a sudden, literally, all hell will break loose. There will be judgment here on the earth. So in 2 Peter 3:10, he says, "For the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night, which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with a fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up." So all of these things are coming to an end. This which we see in chapter 8 is just the beginning of the destruction of the earth, which for us, yeah, it's a bummer to see the earth being destroyed. The earth is a beautiful place, but we don't worship the earth. We worship our Father who is in heaven, who's going to give us a new heaven and a new earth, and is going to replace this one. So three things in closing. Number one, our prayers are remembered in heaven. Our prayers are before the throne of God. This is the second time in the book of Revelation that our prayers are named as incense that goes up before God. God hears our prayers. The Bible clearly encourages us to pray and keep praying. Jesus told two parables about persisting in prayer. And the Bible says, ask and keep asking, knock and keep knocking, to seek and keep seeking, and the door will be opened and you will receive. There will be answers to our prayers. God said, call out to me and I will answer you. The Bible says the fervent, effective prayer of a righteous man accomplishes much. When we have faith, we trust in God and we begin to ask him to do things, and God hears our prayers. And even if they aren't answered right away, we continue to pray because God will answer our prayers eventually. They are before his throne. He hears them all. There isn't a prayer that you prayed that hasn't been heard. It may seem to you like it hasn't been heard, but it has been heard. Number two, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you, and God will bring justice upon the earth, and justice to people, except if they find the grace that you found. I'm not going to receive justice in the sense of getting punished for the things that I've done that are wrong, because I found grace through a relationship with Christ. And if you're here today, you've committed your life to the Lord, then you're not going to be judged either. We've escaped the judgment to come. Praise God. We don't have to stand before them. One of the reasons we should pray for our enemies is that God would grant them that they might be able to escape all of these things as well, that God would grant them repentance. And so we pray for our enemies. We pray for those who persecute us. And when someone is particularly brutal towards us, we give over the vengeance to God. Maybe God will intervene, but we give it over to him, because God will wrap everything up and God will take care of it all. And he will do it all in justice, and he will do it all righteously, where you and I probably would not if we tried to take vengeance. Number three, this earth is being destroyed. This earth is being consumed. When the tribulation period happens, it's kicked up a notch, right? So what kind of people should we be? Peter asked. Peter said, the heavens are going to pass away with a great noise. The earth is going to melt with incredible heat. So what kind of people ought we to be? those that live for the earth and for the things of the earth, or those who live for Christ? Those who say, I want to live for you, I want to shine for you, I want to follow the things you've called me to do. That's the kind of people that we ought to be. And may we be that to a world as we see it moving closer and closer to that day. We don't know when the day is. And even though there's a lot of people now telling you when it's going to be, they don't know. And the one thing about everybody that set a date for when these things start is they've all been wrong up to this point. And so when someone else sets a date, you think, well, that's probably going to be wrong too. In fact, since the Bible says you don't know when I'm going to return, when people set dates, I always think, oh, there goes another date. Jesus isn't going to come back, because they're saying that he's going to come back on that day. But being lights in the midst of this world, allowing God to move in our midst, to move through us, to the family members that are around us, to our friends and family members, that they could come to Christ and know him and walk with him. May God use us in that way as we approach this time, as we move closer and closer in these end days. Stand with me, would you? And let's pray together. Father, we want to thank you as we take time to look at your word, that you are letting us know through the book of Revelation what's happening to this earth. And Lord, we understand why many who are not Christians do not like what the Bible has to say, because it tells us that this earth is going to be destroyed. And there are many who are living for this earth. They've replaced you by worshiping the earth. And yet you're even going to destroy that and let there be a new heaven and a new earth. And Lord, we pray that we would live for you, shine for you, that you would use us to touch hearts and draw people to you. As we consider what's going to happen to this world, Lord, what's important is the souls. And Lord, we pray that there'd be many, many more that would come to you. Bring in a harvest, we pray. In the name of Jesus, amen. I'd like you to keep your heads bowed, please, and your eyes closed for just a minute. But if you're here today and you've never surrendered your life to Christ, you've never become a disciple, you've never become a follower of Jesus, Jesus gave you an invitation. He said, if anyone wants to be my disciple, let him deny himself, pick up his cross, and follow me. That means you have the ability to be able to receive him. It says in John 1:12, as many as receive him, he gives the right to become a child of God to those who believe in his name. Not only do you become a disciple who follows Jesus, but you become a child of the living God, and you are made right with God by the work that Jesus did on the cross. He came and made a way of salvation if you would just receive him. I heard someone this week mock people who say, invite Jesus into your heart, because the Bible never says that. And the Bible doesn't ever say, receive Jesus into your heart. But it does say, anyone who receives him, he gives the right to become a child of God to those who are called according to his name. So even though you're not saying, Lord, I want you in my heart, you're saying, Lord, I receive you. I invite you in. I want you in my life. And if you're here today and you've never asked Jesus into your life, I'm going to give you a chance to do that. If you're here and maybe you invited him in a while ago, but you didn't follow through, and you know you need to make things right and have that life with him now, then I want to give you an opportunity to do that. So right now where you are, I'm going to ask you to do something bold. Just raise your hand. You want to give your life to Christ? You want to become his disciple and start living for him? God bless you, sir. Off to my right. That's great. Anyone else? Just raise your hand. God bless you. Up in the balcony. That's awesome. God bless you, sir. God bless you. Off to my left. That's wonderful. All right. You can put your hand down. And I would like everyone, including those who raised their hands, those of you watching online who want to invite Christ into your life, or those of you listening on the radio, you may wonder, what have I tuned into on the radio? We're giving people a chance to get right with God, and you can do it now by praying this prayer with us as well. So I'd like everyone, including those who raised their hands, to repeat this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I confess that I've sinned, and I know my sin has separated me from you. I also understand that I can be forgiven by the death of Jesus on the cross. So I invite you into my life. I turn from my sin that I can live for you as your disciple, as a follower of Christ. In the name of Jesus, amen. Welcome to the family of God. Amen. Listen, I'm very excited for those of you who raised your hand. A while back, I started making it very clear what you're doing when you commit your life to Christ, that you are becoming a disciple. You're choosing to deny yourself and live for Him. And those of you who raised your hand today know that you are making a commitment to Christ to live for Him. He's going to fill you with the Holy Spirit, empower you, and use you. And I'm excited for what God's going to do. There's a new believers table on the lower level down here. We have a Bible, a new believers packet we want to give you. These guys are great. They'll be able to put some things in your hand and really help you to get the ball rolling. If you did it online, then you can send Ready for Jesus to 94,000. That's a text. Ready for Jesus to 94,000. The link you get back is our new believers card. Fill that out and we'll have people that will contact you based on that. All right, now two more things. I want to pray for you and I want to bless you. So I want to pray for you based on what we've been covering today. And we've looked at some pretty shocking news about what's going to happen to our earth. What's the future of our earth have in store for it? Well, first of all, a third of everything being destroyed. And then being replaced by a new heaven and a new earth. And if that's happening, what kind of people should we be? I want to pray that we would have the right priorities. It doesn't mean that we don't like this earth or even love being here on this earth, but we're not to worship the earth. And there are people who definitely do that. And this is a direct blow against those who have made this earth their God when God will replace it completely and totally. So I want to pray for what kind of people we ought to be since this earth is being destroyed. So the Bible says, let men everywhere lift up holy hands and pray. And I'm going to ask you men and women to lift up your hands and I want to pray for you. Father, I want to pray for everyone who's here. Lord, we thank you that we are able to look into your word and you tell us, even though it's hard for us to hear the destruction that this earth will go through, knowing that it will all be burned up one day, let us not live for things that are here. Your word says, put our mind on things that are above and not on the things of this earth. I pray that we would be that kind of people, living for you, shining for you, that we would be ambassadors sent here, pilgrims that are passing through. This world is not our home, and praise God for that. But Lord, we pray that we would be a light that would shine to everyone who needs to hear you, to receive you. And we thank you for this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. May you find yourself walking closer to Christ than ever before. Whether the end is 100 years from now or starts tomorrow, we serve Christ and we live for him, and may you live solidly and strongly for him.
Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson. We pray that wherever you're listening from, the study of God's word is encouraging you and strengthening your walk with Christ. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com. Producing this program would not happen without the support and generosity of listeners like you. If you would like to partner with us financially, and Practical Christian Living Radio and TV has blessed you, please visit pclaz.org. That's pclaz.org. where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a reoccurring basis. We'd love for you to join us at one of our two campuses in Tucson. Our West Campus is located at 5170 South Julian Drive, and our East Campus is located at 8711 East Speedway. East Campus service times are Saturday evening at 6 p.m. and Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. and noon. Our West Campus meets Sunday mornings at 8:15 and 10:45 a.m. Our midweek service times are Wednesday evenings at 6 p.m. at our East Campus and 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. You can also listen live to our Sunday morning 9:30 service and Wednesday evening 6 p.m. service right here on Reach Radio Tucson at 106.7 FM, 690 AM, streaming at reach.radio or via our Reach Radio app on your Android or iPhone. If you have recently accepted Jesus into your life and you have questions about salvation, we'd love to help guide you in your journey. Email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. Don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. Our local listeners can watch Practical Christian Living Sunday mornings at 8:30 on KGUN 9 TV. Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living, a ministry of Calvary Tucson, where we are reaching for Jesus, connecting with people, and walking in truth.
Calvary Tucson has developed a discipleship school with you in mind. Reach College of Ministry is for adults of all ages who want a deeper relationship with Jesus, a stronger grasp of the Bible, and practical insight into fulfilling your God-given calling. Earn your certificate in theology in as little as 1 year, or enroll in individual courses for personal growth. Attend courses online or in person at Calvary Tucson's East Campus. Visit thereachcollege.org today to learn more and start this exciting journey.